Hello and welcome to the Life Church Canton podcast. My name is Jared. I'm one of the pastors here, and you are going to hear a wonderful message from Pastor John Grandy about Galatians 2:20. It's part of our New Life series, and this particular Sunday is all about New Life Sunday, where we have people get baptized. You won't hear this on this podcast, but we had several people over the weekend get baptized and tell their testimonies, and it was just a really powerful event. So this is a little bit of a shorter message, but I hope it inspires you and causes you to want to experience new life as well. And I would say this, if you've never been baptized before and you want to learn a little bit more about that, please reach out to us, fill out that Connect card, and toward the bottom of that card, there's a selection to select baptism, and then that will let our team know to reach out to you to help you with those next steps. Also, if you would like to continue giving or maybe give for the very first time to Life Church, you can go to lifecanton.org/give and learn more about giving, how to give, and how your giving actually makes an impact to help us live into our vision to reclaim our identity in Jesus and to bear the torch of Christ's justice and love. Now, I hope you enjoy the message.
My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is one of our favorite Sundays of the year because we get to celebrate transformation. We believe that when we're transformed by Jesus, when we commit our lives to following Him, there's actually this internal change that happens, and it works its way throughout the rest of our lives. And today, when we get to baptize people, it is their public declaration that they're living for God for all of their life, going all in to serve Him. And it is always an exciting time to be able to celebrate with them their new life. It's contagious, isn't it? We all feel it in the room. We all get to experience the power of what God is doing in them. And as I was thinking about the baptism waters today, it made me think about the sea this week. I was curious how much of the sea has actually been explored. Did you know that only 5% of the ocean has been explored? 71% of the Earth's surface is covered by water. So you can imagine this is a tall task to try to explore it. There's incredible depths. There's immense pressure. Some places there's no visibility. It's complete darkness. So it's almost impossible to explore some places in the ocean, which is why 95% of it is uncharted waters. Now, over the years, many, many explorers have tried to check out these uncharted waters and map them and explore them. And one of the crews that did that was Ferdinand Magellan's crew in 1519. They went out to try to circumnavigate the entire globe because no one had ever done that before. No one had traveled all the way around the world by water. And so he and his crew wanted to do that. They set sail with 260 men to try to complete this task. And it was a brutal journey. They got sick. There was a revolt from the crew members to try to overthrow Ferdinand. There was all kinds of stuff that happened. They almost died from starvation. In fact, only 18 of them, of the 260, made it all the way through the voyage. And Magellan was not one of them. He died in a battle along the way. This is one of the things that Magellan wrote in one of his journals. He said, "The sea is dangerous and its storms terrible, but these obstacles have never been sufficient reason to remain ashore." I'm not buying that, Ferdinand. I mean, you kind of lost your life. Not sure that was worth the risk. Not sure it was worth the voyage. You know, there's a lot of things that you risk to be able to do this. I mean, most of us would just want to stay ashore, wouldn't we? It's safer there. You're not going to get seasick on the shore, and you're probably going to stay alive, okay? It's much easier and safer to stay ashore, to not take the risk of trying to chart the uncharted waters. You see, uncharted waters are risky. Uncharted waters are risky. We see that clearly in Ferdinand's story. We also see it in the early church, because there were a lot of uncharted waters that they had to navigate. After the resurrection, the believers had a brand new faith. It grew out of the Jewish faith, but now they find themselves in this brand new faith that was started by this man who showed up out of nowhere and claimed to be the Messiah. Then he died and was crucified and rose from the dead and is claiming to be alive. This is a new thing, all right? Resurrection did not happen before Jesus. Now, resurrection defines the faith of these people. They are known as the people of the resurrection, these Christians who followed this resurrected Savior. And all of this is new. It's uncharted waters in faith. this is a new normal that the people in the early church were trying to navigate. So like uncharted waters, new normals are risky as well. New normals are risky. In fact, we feel more comfortable with old normals. New normals feel scary, foreign, uncomfortable. Think about it. The patterns in your life we get comfortable with. We have our shows that we like to watch. We have our certain places we like to go out to eat. These things, we're creatures of habit, aren't we? Raise your hand if you're a creature of habit. You like your things the way they are, okay? There's a lot of creatures of habit in the room. Don't mess up my stuff, okay? Don't mess up my routine. We like the old normal. We like these habits that we get into. So you throw a new normal into it, and we're like, no, I don't like that. I'm not doing that. We feel uncomfortable. Jared last week talked about the unknowns that we face with new life, and new normals are unknowns. We tend to want to avoid them. The early church felt this way too, because their old normal was Jesus was with them. They followed him. They watched him do all the miracles firsthand. They got to experience his personality. In fact, when they were doing ministry and they didn't understand what was going on, many times they would pull him aside and be like, hey, Jesus, like, I know you said that, and I know you did that, but can you tell us what that actually means? Because we don't understand. Can you unpack that for us? They had Jesus in person to be able to learn from him. Guess what? Jesus ain't there anymore, is he? He's in heaven. So what do they do now? Who do they follow now? Well, Jesus says, I'm giving you a new counselor, giving you the Holy Spirit who will now lead you. He is the one who will lead you into all truth. He will remind you of all the things that I've taught you. In fact, when you're in front of dignitaries in these very important moments and you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit of God will tell you what to say. That's pretty cool. But it sounds a bit risky too, doesn't it? This Holy Spirit is this invisible force who does not have a body. It's much easier to follow a human person as they walk on the earth than it is to follow a dove or, you know, as the image of the Spirit. But this invisible Spirit who you can't see, all you can do is hear and sense his presence. It's a lot harder to follow someone like that. What if they hear him wrong? I mean, Jesus is not there in person to correct them. There's risk here. Following an invisible spirit feels much more risky than following a human Messiah, doesn't it? In fact, in the early church, the Celtic Christians called the Holy Spirit the wild goose. Did you know that? They called him the wild goose because they said, when we tried to follow him, it felt like a wild goose chase because you never knew where he was going to go. You never knew where he was going to show up. In fact, when after Philip baptized an Ethiopian eunuch, he literally teleported and showed up in another town. Go read it in Scripture. It's incredible. So the Spirit just picked him up and moved him somewhere else. We can't explain that through science. That's what happened, you know. The Spirit defies the laws of physics. The Spirit is risky, and new normals are risky. Are they worth the risk? New life is a new normal. Is it worth the risk? Like we said, we like our routines. Is it worth the risk to start a whole new life? To be a whole new person. See, we might ask ourselves, I don't know what's out there in my new life in Christ. I don't know what to expect. What if I screw up? Will I stop struggling with sin after I get baptized? What does my faith look like after New Life Sunday? You're probably asking yourself some of those questions. Those of us who are getting baptized, what does this look like? I'm not sure. There's risk here. There's questions, lots of questions, and I don't have the answers to them. You know, one of the greatest risks of new life is believing that faith in Jesus is enough. It's enough by itself. And I want to take you to our main scripture today in Galatians 2, so Paul can explain this to us. Let's look at Galatians 2:16. Paul says, "We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because of the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law." This is one of those scriptures where you're like, did John just repeat himself three times? Because he just said the same thing three times over and over again. And this is for emphasis. Paul is making sure we know that it's clear that our faith is what saves us, not our following the rules, not our works, not our ability to do everything right. It's our faith in Jesus that is what saves us. You mean I don't need to follow the law anymore? The law is a complex system of rules for right living. Are the rules out the window? Do we just throw them out and not worry about them anymore? Don't we need the rules to keep us in check, to keep us in the boundaries of new life, to keep us on track for following Jesus? Is faith by itself really enough? That's what it seems what Paul is saying. It seems risky, doesn't it? Let's keep reading. Verse 17, Paul goes on to say, "But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. In other words, what if we take the risk to believe that faith is enough, but then feel guilty for abandoning the rules? Can we really trust Christ alone to lead us?" Now, I don't want you to hear what Paul is not saying, okay? I want to be clear on this. He's not saying live however you want, have no boundaries, break the law, just live however you want recklessly. He's not saying that. What he is saying is if you follow Jesus alone, he will show you how to live for God. In fact, how many of you are fans of The Chosen, the TV series about Jesus and his disciples? One of my favorite lines in the show is when Jesus says, "I am the law of Moses." He helps us embody the law. He helps us to live it out because he is living it out through us. So it's not about externally following these rules, this checklist of do's and don'ts. It's about following him who is inside of us and leading us into new life. This is what new life looks like. But new life requires risk. New life is a lot more risky than trying to follow all these laws and rules that are written down in black and white. I mean, what if I become a Christian weirdo? What if I go all in for Christ and lose myself and become a Christian weirdo? We all know what they look like, right? Don't point fingers. Don't nudge the person next to you. You know, they look hypocritical, judgmental, out of touch with reality. Don't even get me started about comments on social media. I mean, you just start reading the comments and all the Christian weirdos and Christian trolls come out of the woodwork and start smashing people. There is no love in those comments half the time. Makes my blood boil. What if I become one of those people? When it comes to new life, risk is not just a possibility. It is a necessity, okay? We can't get away from risk. We must embrace it. Because if we're willing to embrace the risk of new life, then we get to experience the reward of new life, okay? Because what if going all in for Christ is the best thing you could ever do? What if it gives you power to become the person you've always wanted to be? That's what those of you wanting to get baptized are counting on, right? And that's why you're doing this. You wouldn't just go through the motions for no reason. You're getting baptized because you want to be all that Christ made you to be. Listen to how Paul describes baptism in Romans chapter 6. "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives." Paul is saying that baptism gives us access to resurrection power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. As we unpack this, new life unleashes resurrection power. When you share your stories of baptism, everyone in the room is going to feel it. We're going to feel the power of the resurrection through your story because of what God has done in your life. So don't be nervous, because God is using you as a catalyst for transformation. And we all get to be a part of that power. It's going to be amazing. It is contagious. How cool is that? Your baptism story unleashes resurrection power because of what God has done in your life. You see, resurrection power heals brokenness. It breaks sinful patterns. It empowers you to live into who Christ has destined you to be. It moves you to serve others. This can't just be about us. It cannot be hoarded. New life must be shared. We can't help but share it because it truly is contagious. Now, this power has already empowered you to decide to follow Christ. Baptism is not salvation. It's a confirmation of salvation. It's going public with your faith, because everyone sees you. And we get to celebrate with you. And Jesus is working in you. He already has been, and he will continue to. So don't stop following him. Let this be the beginning of your faith, not the end. It's the starting line. Now, I want to give us three ways that new life empowers us. Three ways that resurrection power is unleashed through new life. The first one, new life empowers us to die to our old selves. Did you hear Paul talk about that? He died to his old self. See, at times you'll be tempted to go back to your old self, to resurrect who you used to be. When the enemy comes and tempts you, when he comes and speaks into your ears and tries to woo you back into how you used to live, that old self will try to come back again. And when that happens, remember that you already died to your old self. See, when part of my old self was I used to feel insecure about what people thought about me. It made me question myself. It made me question what I was saying or what I was doing, and second-guessing, creating insecurities within me. And it stole away my confidence. It made me forget who God says that I was. So as I followed the Spirit, as he stirred within me, he reminded me who he made me to be. He reminded me that he's called me to help others realize and reach restoration in Christ. And he's grounded me in that calling so that everything that I do can come back to that. And when I feel insecure, I could say, no, the Spirit has empowered me to help others realize and reach restoration. That is what I'm called to do. That is who I am. That's where I find my security and my strength. And it helps us overcome those insecurities and that old self. When you feel tempted to resurrect the old self, remind yourself that that old self is dead and buried at the bottom of this baptism tank. Amen? We leave our old selves underneath the water and we come up a new creation. The old self is dead and the new self is alive in Christ because of the new life that he gives us. Listen to Paul's words as he continues in Galatians 2. Verses 19 to 20. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. You hear him talking about dying to his old self? I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. My old self has been crucified with Christ. I have died to my old self. And Paul's old self was being a rule follower. A rule follower. He prided himself on that. I can follow all the rules. I could tell you all the ways that I have served God better than anyone else. In fact, in Scripture, he literally lists that out, all the ways that he is better. But then he says, all of it is rubbish compared to Christ within me. You see, Paul realized that it was impossible to live as a rule follower. You know how many of them he tried to live? Anyone have a guess how many rules are in the Old Testament? How many laws? 613. 613 laws in the Old Testament. Now, this is important because Paul is writing to the Galatians, and these are people that have been preached to. These religious people have come in and said, hey, even though you're believers, even though Christ has come, you still have to follow the law. You still have to follow 613 rules for right living. And they felt this heavy burden. And so the whole theme of Galatians is about freedom, where Paul writes to them, he says, no, don't listen to them. You are free in Christ. The law is finished. When Christ said it is finished on the cross, he was talking about the law. I have completed the law. I am the law. I am the fulfillment of the law. Follow me, and you will fulfill the law. Because I am the law of Moses. And Jesus showed them a new normal. A new way to live. And Paul's reminding them of that. Don't step back into the old normal. It doesn't work. You can't do it. Don't even try. And that's what his position was. You see, there are still laws like that today. Laws that are in effect that people don't really follow, but they're still laws. And just like these people were trying to get the Galatians to follow these laws, we can sometimes feel that pressure, but sometimes they're so ridiculous that no one follows them. There's actually a term for this called unenforced law. And I want to give you a couple examples because these are great. You ready? In Vermont, a woman must have written permission from her husband before she can get false teeth. True story. It's still a law, okay? If you are over 14 years old, you cannot trick-or-treat in Chesapeake City, Virginia. Sorry, high schoolers, you got the shaft on that one, okay? This is the best one. In Kentucky, no woman can marry the same man more than 3 times. Every law is written for a reason, okay? I'm just saying. So the way we feel about these laws is the same way that Paul felt about the Old Testament law, right? It's ridiculous. Who would follow these? They're not in effect anymore. So Paul stopped trying, and so should we. The second way to live out new life, to experience the resurrection power of new life, is to embrace a new normal. A new normal. The old normal is familiar. We like our routines, but they're flawed. They will keep us stuck in old patterns of living. Remember earlier when we talked about how we feel comfortable with them? Well, the problem is, Paul said his old normal condemned him, and so will yours. If you stay stuck in your old normal, it will condemn you. And your old self, it will condemn you, just like Paul's did. Some people that I've discipled and that I work with would rather, I'm not talking about the staff, I'm talking about people that I've that I've poured into, they would rather have old normals, even if they're dysfunctional, because they are familiar. What if your old normal was chaos? What if it was abusive? What if you grew up in an abusive home? That was your old normal. We feel more comfortable with these old normals because they're familiar. They're what we're used to. And because of that, we just think that that's what we're dealt in life, the hand that we're dealt. And we accept it as something that will never change. How sad of a story is that? That we would rather choose to stay in these abusive and dysfunctional and broken old normals than risk the new normal. I'm telling you, I've literally heard people say, I feel more nervous about the new normal than I do about staying in this broken pattern, in this broken normal. Friends, let's learn from them. Let's look at our own lives and say, what old normals am I putting up with? Am I just settling for because it's too hard to risk the new normal? Guess what? Resurrection power is ready to launch you into the new normal if only you will let Christ do it. If only you will leave that old normal behind. Paul shows us a new normal, thankfully, that we can embrace. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see the difference here. Christ lives in me. It's not about these external rules, these laws, these checklists. It's about the directional living that Christ gives me as he lives inside of me, trusting in the Son of God, not in the do's or don'ts, not in my behavior, not in the checklist. The new normal is trusting Christ within us. This is our new normal. Friends who are getting baptized, as you trust and follow Christ within you, you are free from trying to follow these external rules that just leave you bound. Christ will show you the way to live for God. He will show you the way to live in truth because he is the truth, and he will guide you. In fact, it reminds me of these bad boys. You remember when we used to have to drive with these? Look at that. And MapQuest. How many of you guys used MapQuest back in the day? So if you're trying to drive, like, I don't even know how this is possible. You're holding this up. You're holding the wheel. You're trying to drive without hitting anybody. And it's just, it's awkward. You can't do it. This is the law, all right? This is trying to follow Christ with the law. It's trying to drive with this giant atlas. Instead, Christ is giving you a GPS. And he's going to show you how to follow him, how to follow God, and avoid all the detours. Christ is your GPS of new life, okay? You don't need the map anymore. You don't need the atlas because he's going to show you every twist and turn to take. He's going to tell you when there's accidents to avoid. He's going to show you how to avoid your old life and detour into the new life. Let Christ be the GPS of your new life and follow him. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to the atlas, because it's always going to let you down. It's always going to be awkward. It's not going to help you get where you want to go. The third way that new life empowers us is it helps us multiply our new life. You know, as I was prepping this message, I was like, we're talking about new life, but I'm also talking about new normal, and that was kind of on my heart for this message. I'm like, they feel similar. I don't want to get confused. And I was like, they kind of feed into each other, don't they? So I created this feedback loop. This is what it looks like. New life leads to a new normal of following the Spirit, of allowing the GPS of new life to guide you, Christ within you. And as you live into that new normal, it produces more new life. It's this feedback loop. It creates momentum. It creates a multiplication of new life. So as you live into new life and new normals, it creates more new life. And it multiplies beyond you, in your life and through your life, to everyone else. They get to experience your new life because you're willing to live into it. What if we could all multiply new life to everyone around us? This is what new life empowers us to do. So what are some takeaways? Before we hear these stories and are inspired by this new life, we experience this resurrection power, what are some takeaways for today? Number one, new life is worth the risk. It's worth the risk. It unleashes resurrection power in our lives. Do you want resurrection power in your life? Three of you. Let me try that again. Do you want resurrection power in your life?
Yes!
All right, that's better. Then we get to, if we're willing to live into new life. We get to. New life is worth the risk. But it takes risk. You've got to be willing to take the risk of new life. The second thing, Christ, trust Christ within you. Remember that Christ is our GPS for new life. He's going to help us navigate in ways that the law never could, in ways that this old relic never could. It's just going to get in the way. And Christ is going to show us the way to new life every single day. Trust his resurrection power within you, especially those of you getting baptized. This is what we're inviting you into. Trusting Christ within you. The third thing is multiply new life. Burn that feedback loop into your brain. Think about that. As you live into new life, it gives you the courage to step into the risks of the new normal, which then will create more new life. It's worth the risk. Multiply new life beyond your life. Inspire others to follow as well. Let's pray. God, thank you for the power that is unleashed through the resurrection. Thank you that you made a way for us to live in freedom. You made a way for us to follow you truly. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives within us. And this is our GPS of new life. So thank you for that. What a gift. Lord, I pray for those getting baptized that you will walk with them, that they will allow you to lead them every day of their lives, that they will just continue to grow and multiply new life from this day forward. And I pray for those who are even considering baptism at this moment that you will stir in their hearts and lead them the step of new life that they need to take today. We thank you that we get to celebrate in this moment. We want to just be present and enjoy what's happening. Enjoy your presence. Enjoy the power of the resurrection. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You ready to hear some baptism stories? Let's do it.
Well, once again, thank you so much for listening to this message. I hope it inspired you in some way. And if you need prayer for anything, you need to connect with us, please fill out that connect card. You can even fill out a prayer request form on our website as well. And then lastly, I want to mention to you, on April 7, the evening of April 7, we launched our first community support night, and we had just a great turnout of people who came and were able to connect into different support groups for grief and loss, anxiety, depression, general life help that we're calling life hacks, and some financial help as well. We're going to do it for 3 more weeks. If you feel like that might be a good fit for you to come, you can come, bring your kids. There's free childcare, and then there's also a free meal as well. So I encourage you to check that out. You can find out more about that on our website, and that's called our Community Support Night. We hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you back here soon.